call to order the Veterans Affairs Division meeting.
To order. And Representative Newton, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, welcome, everybody. We don't have a quorum yet, so we'll approve the minutes from the July 29th, the meeting that we held. Here was a special meeting that we held. We'll approve those as soon as we get a quorum. And first thing on the agenda, a couple of months ago, I attended the Veterans Courts in the Hennepin County Veterans Court. And I was pretty, really impressed by the procedures that they followed, especially the pre-court meeting where you would sit around a table and watch the different people that are working in the court with the men and women that are coming before the court and talking about their backgrounds and so forth. And you get a good feel of what was going on there. And then you actually got to go into the court and take part in the court proceedings, or listen to the court proceedings, and get even a better handle on what's going on with the Veterans Court. And I'm going to pass around, first of all, Judge Myers, welcome to the committee. She brought me a coin, and it's the it's the court's coin, and it's got the five various branches of the service on one side. It's got the seal on one side, and on the edge, make sure you look at the edge, it's listed as, if you receive this coin, that means you have graduated from the Veterans Court. And it's pretty neat. I'll pass it around. The judge does want it back, okay?
Yes, I have one, but that's not mine.
And we do have a quorum. Would someone like to move the July 29, 2015 minutes? Representative Pugh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the minutes from July the 29th. Thank you.
Okay, Representative Pugh moves the minutes from July 29th. All in favor, say yay.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The minutes of July 29th have been passed. Judge Myers, welcome again. And I know we put you right on top of the agenda here because you have to get back to the courts, but I really appreciate you taking the time to come in and share with us what's going on in Hennepin County with the Veterans Courts. So the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you so much for having me and taking time out of your legislative session to hear some good news about what's happening for some of the veterans in our state. My name is Carrie Meyer. I am a judge in the 4th Judicial District, which is Hennepin County. For the last few years, I've had the privilege of presiding over our problem-solving treatment courts, one of which is Veterans Court. And it is, unfortunately, innovative, but really a practical, common-sense approach to supervision of people who have been charged with crimes, convicted of crimes, and the way that they are supervised after they're convicted, or in our cases, while they're going through the system. In regular court, when a defendant is sentenced, they see the judge who tells them, remain law-abiding, stay sober, you're going to get a probation officer someday, they'll call you, good luck with that, right? Wow, what are you supposed to do with that? I'll wait for a phone call, and I'll not drink, even though that's what I've been doing every day since I was 11. That's not very helpful, and that's a lot of responsibility for said probation officer who gets assigned later. What we do in problem-solving courts is really different. When they come to the judge, that's the beginning of the relationship, not the end with me. We have regular reviews that allow the defendants, the veterans in this case, to come and brag about their accomplishments and also to receive very swift consequences for any violations that they've had. We'll talk more about that. It's a team of professionals working in collaboration to help the veterans to modify their behavioral choices and to stay out of trouble with the criminal justice system in the future. Many of you have visited problem-solving treatment courts, and I thank you for the time you've taken. For those of you who have not had the opportunity, you are always welcome. In Minneapolis, we have a court every morning, and our veterans court is on Monday mornings. We start our staffing, which Representative Detmer just talked about, at 8:30. We start court at 10 o'clock. Again, you're always welcome. You can arrange that with us. This staffing that we do before court is just the professionals, where we talk about all the people who are coming to court that day, the people who have asked to join the court or learn more about it, who we have not met yet, and the people who've been with us for their probationary term. We talk about the accomplishments of the people who are coming that day, sobriety milestones, treatment milestones, if they've gotten a new job, if they've reunited with children that they hadn't seen for some time before they came into the court. We also talk about violations. Most often, frankly, are relapses on the chemicals, missed or canceled appointments, and losing a treatment spot. Those are sort of the most frequent violations we see, especially in veterans court. We discuss as a team those violations as well as the accomplishments, right? But we talk about what's the right approach, what's the right treatment approach, what's the right sanction, and how is that going to affect this individual. Ultimately, it's my decision what the sanction will be because I am the judge of the court, but I do that in the most informed way with professionals from all over the justice system. We're a team of professionals who are dedicated to veterans, and we cover four different levels of government. From the city level, we have a prosecutor from the city of Minneapolis at every single week at the table with us. We then also have a suburban prosecutor as part of our steering committee and a city police officer, Minneapolis, who's part of our steering committee as well. So the city level of government is represented. At the county level, we have a lot of involvement. Our probation officers are county employees for Hennepin County. The attorneys, we have a county prosecutor and a defense attorney who are county employees. Veterans Service Office is present, who helps us so much to get people service connected and to make sure their benefits, they have the benefits they're entitled to, as well as hooking them up with other positive things that are available for them in the community. Our coordinator and then, of course, me as the judge are also county-level employees. At the state level, DEED, Department of Education and Employment Development, I think I'm right, has a representative who attends court with us every week, and he is so great about knowing what's available to veterans, especially homeless, incarcerated veterans, and finding them employment as well as to increase their skills. He just makes wonderful connections, and we see some new employment as well as increased employment for people working with him. At the federal level, we have a representative from Veterans Benefits Office who comes every week for us. He can tell us what's happening with a claim in real time. He can tell us what needs to be done if a claim's been denied. We have been able to get 21% of our people to get benefits that were not did not previously have benefits when they started the court, and that's because he's right there at the table with us. Also, we have a representative from the VA Medical Center called a Veteran Justice Outreach Worker. His name is David Holowinski, and he's some kind of miracle worker. He does great work to keep the connection and information flowing from the VA Medical Center, including all the treatments, physical health, mental health, chemical health, letting us know when the person has been to treatment or has missed. He can tell us whether someone went this morning to their group that they were supposed to go to because his computer can give that information. Also, whether they've been canceling or missing appointments, which is really important. We need them to go to everything. So he's a great liaison for us. But as you can hear, we have so many people who can inform the decisions that I have to make and that helped me to know how to motivate the veteran in front of me. Altogether, our questions get answered, benefits get awarded, as I stated earlier, and we also have veterans who are not court involved, but who have served their country, who want to give to their fellow veterans, who act as mentors in our court. And they're kind of a coffee buddy, right? A person who can help someone out without, they're associated with the court, but they're not part of our court team. They don't tell on them. They're not mini probation officers, as it were. They're just a supportive person who knows where the veteran's coming from their military service, who also has some connection to the court and knows a little bit about what's going on in their lives. After we finish our staffing, we've gone through the whole calendar to talk about who's coming. Then we go up to the courtroom where the veterans have assembled. That starts at 10 o'clock on Mondays. We call them by not just their names, but their service branch. Right? They have pride in the service that they gave. Otherwise, they would not be interested in veterans court. And so they come up, and frankly, most of them stand at parade rest. They're very respectful of what's happening in the court and of the fact that they are in a formal setting. They report to me what's been happening since their last court review, which was just a matter of weeks ago. Sometimes it was last week, depending on how things are going. And I expect to hear what I heard at staffing, right? I expect them to tell me, brag on what's been going well, what have you accomplished, and also to front what's been going not so well, if they've been missing meetings or if they got kicked out of treatment. I expect them to tell me that. And if they don't, then I'll bring it up, but I prefer that they do and they know that. And then my job is to praise and encourage them, right? When they have made positive choices, we want to encourage that. We want to make those type of decisions continue in their lives. And then also to identify the problems and sanction them. And I do that swiftly. They're coming to me on regular reviews so that the punishment, if any, is associated with the offense. We all know from parenting, and I'm not saying I'm their parent, but it is the same concept. When your child does something wrong, you cannot give them a timeout a week later. They will have no idea why they're sitting on the stair. It has to be right now while their hands are still dirty. And so it's the same thing for adults. We can think about why we are getting punished, but it just doesn't feel the same as when it happens right away. And so that's why the regular reviews and the immediate sanctions. And then I set my next court date with them. Their probation officer also gives an update about what's been going on so they can hear those praise and encouragement again, and so that they can know that we're all thinking about them and talking about them. And then we set their next court date so they know when they're coming back. Our veterans are involved in treatment, a variety of treatment, chemical dependency, mental health treatment, domestic abuse. Some of you may know about Change Step, which is it's a specific veteran-oriented domestic abuse program that's through the Domestic Abuse Project. It was developed locally, and it is now used nationally. We have people in PTSD treatment, cognitive skills of various degrees, individual therapy, group therapy. For those who are VA eligible, these services come through the VA Medical Center. And you all know that means they're federal dollars, right? And so that's something that we want to use when it's available. The people have earned it, but it certainly helps us with our bottom line as well in our court. If they're not eligible, I still take them into the court because, as I told you earlier, some people get service connected and then they also can get connected with the VA Medical Center while they're with us. But also because they're veteran-oriented, and we want them to be with their brothers and sisters in court and to have the same opportunities, even if they had a discharge that makes them not eligible for services through the VA. And then we work through community providers just like we do in regular probation. In Hennepin County right now, we currently have a pretty low census. We're at 55 active participants. It's, like I said, it's a low census for us, but it allows us to really focus on each of the individual veterans who are with us. Even though Minnesota has no active military bases, almost half of the veterans in front of me have been deployed, and most of them have seen active combat. They range from Vietnam, Grenada, Desert Storm, Kosovo, Afghanistan, and Iraq, with most of our deployed combat veterans coming to us from Iraq. They range in age from 69 with our Vietnam veterans to 26 with some of our Iraq and Afghanistan veterans in that lower age range. 15% of our veterans identify with a TBI, most of which was suffered, traumatic brain injury, suffered during combat. Over 7% have suffered military sexual trauma, including most of our women. 90% of the participants are men, 10% are women. I think we would expect that to be true of our core. Racially, it's interesting, no matter how we run the stats, they're almost the same. From the beginning of the court, and we're 5.5 years old, right now in the court, graduates, terminated people, the racial composition is almost identical. About 57% white, 26% black, and 8% American Indian. Again, the rates are about the same, coming in the door, leaving whichever door they leave through. Throughout the state of Minnesota, I know most of you, all the Representative Pugh are not from Hennepin County. In the metro, there are veterans courts in Hennepin, Ramsey, Anoka, Carver. Washington County has a diversion program that they run, and it's similar enough. They come to veterans court events when we have them. Outstate, the 5th Judicial District, so Blue Earth County, Brown, Faribault, that area of the state has a veterans court that all of their counties participate in. Clay and Becker counties share a veterans court. Stearns County has a veterans court. We know Chisago's starting to explore one, so encourage them. They called us recently to get some information, and I'm sure that they'll work through the state to get their court approved. So we have them in different areas of the state. Certainly not every single veteran has a veterans court accessible if they end up in trouble or charged with a crime, but at least they are spreading through the court. They're not just in Minneapolis and St. Paul. You can hear this. These courts require upfront resources, right? The people to staff, the programs to be in place, and to follow up with the veterans. And so, of course, as legislators, you have to wonder, is it worth it? Wouldn't it be easier to just send them to that probation officer someday? And so we, in Hennepin County, did a 2-year review. We're currently in process of developing our 5-year review because you can't do it right at the end, the 5th-year anniversary. You need some time for the graduates to have shown you what they do after they finish the program, so that's the delay. Plus, we're working very hard to identify veterans who did not come into the Veterans Court, and that's not an easy process. But from what we have, the information we do have, we have a 75% graduation rate, so that's pretty good. That's in real people. We graduated our 199th veteran this morning, and it was a wonderful story. So those 199 people have shown that they're able to sustain sobriety, complete programming, follow through with treatment, and stay in contact with the court. They've committed fewer crimes than before they came. Of course, they've all committed one when they come, right? So if you stay law-abiding, you've committed fewer. 89% of the graduates have no new offenses for at least 20 months after they graduate. That's where we're able to look back right now. So that's pretty good. It means only 11% have a new criminal conviction. So just in general, our graduates, what we are doing for people, veterans who have come into hardship after they've returned home, is we've changed their lives. Many of them tell us that we have literally saved their lives. We have veterans who give back now. They speak in many different proceedings. They help train people in a crisis intervention training, police officers, health professionals, just to try to explain, here's what might be going on inside that veteran's head when you're having interaction with them and they are surprising you with their actions. And also, one thing I hear repeatedly is the veterans are able to sleep at night again. They've just achieved a level of peace through the programming that they've completed, and so we know we're making a positive impact in their lives. Mr. Chair.
Judge Myers, one thing I'd like to maybe follow up in the future, maybe there's a graduate that would like to, could recommend to come into the committee.
Certainly.
And speak to the committee. I think that would be a big benefit for us to hear it from somebody who's gone through the course, through the veterans courts, and that would be great. And do we have some other questions here? Yes, Representative Pugh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I actually don't have any questions, but I just wanted to make a few comments and to welcome Judge Meyer to our committee, and thanks for your great presentation. Just recently, I attended the Veterans Court, and it was just such an amazing experience that I could not have imagined. I mean, it was, as the judge mentioned, it was such a collaborative process, federal, state, you know, local, in the pre-meeting was just so informative, but you know, it was just a really efficient use of taxpayer dollars too, you know, representing a rather high, you know, taxed district. I think that if my constituents could see how government works together like this to bring bring people who have offended through this dark place and then out the other side, it would be really, really inspiring. So, I mean, I made some notes of things that people said, and there were many times as they approached the bench that it just, what they said and their tears or their eyes were filled with tears, and it just sent the chills right through me. I mean, people spoke about how inspired they were, how delighted they were to see their child graduate. There were more than one veteran that spoke about what a blessing the court was. So I just want to say, you know, great job, and thanks so much for the experience, and would want to, and know, I don't think there's anyone else on our committee from Hennepin County, but to experience this, if you haven't, it would be just really inspiring. So thank you.
Thank you. Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Judge, you talked just briefly, at that, and if I missed this, I was late getting in. Sorry about that. But there was a, you were talking about some like statistics, and one of the things you talked about was TBI. So are these vets with TBI, are they hooked up with disabled vets? I mean, are they getting hooked up with the VA where they need to be, and is that part of the process that that they get through this system?
Judge Myers.
Mr. Chair, Representative Purcell, thank you for the question. Yes, it's something we definitely focus on. We make sure that they go to the TBI clinic at the VA Medical Center if they're eligible. Otherwise, we have TBI programming in the community for people who are not VA Medical Center eligible, although most of our traumatic brain injuries are eligible for services. And they will do full neurological assessments as well as try different approaches to treatment with that population to see what will work with that particular person's injury. So we're very cognizant of that and focused on treating that part of what may be the underlying cause of the criminal action.
Representative Purcell.
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Any other questions? Any other questions? Well, I think Representative Driscoll, we passed some legislation last year. It was your bill regarding, why don't you explain that? Maybe we could connect the two programs here.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the things that I've been working on and the chair was referring to was intervention training for law enforcement and for other first responders, raising the level of awareness of how to handle those kinds of situations. And this is probably the step before the judge and the Veterans Court would be brought forth to help adjudicate the situation. But we've appropriated a sizable sum of money again. Our goal is to have at least 10% of the law enforcement people with this training. The problem that we have is the same 10% is not always the same 10% year after year because of entry and exit in the profession and retirements and those kinds of things. But we do have a laudable goal of wanting to do that. And one of the questions that I've commonly asked about this is, well, how do you know if this is effective use of taxpayer dollars? They said you don't read about it in the paper. And so I think that that is probably the best testimony that one can give as to the success of the program. So, Judge, thank you for being here with us today as well.
Yeah. Any other? Thank you, Representative Driscoll. Any other questions? Any other questions? And I have one last question. Where do you find your mentors? I know those are probably those one-on-one people. Where do they come from?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. They volunteer. We had a booth or a table at the state fair where we recruited. It's word of mouth, American Legion, VFWs. Of course, that's not where we want our people hanging out because they're prohibited from consuming alcohol, but just to get the word out among veterans who want to give back. And we get cold calls from people. I had one recently where a gentleman called me, said, I'm West Point graduate. I'm about to retire from my job. I heard about your veterans court. How can I help? And so now he's a veteran. He's a mentor. So it's great.
Thank you, Judge Myers. And you have somebody else with you. I know Ken Bergstrom.
Yes.
And is he the point of contact, if one of us wanted to come in and sit in on Veterans Court?
You can call me directly, or Mr. Bergstrom, or Allison Holbrook, our coordinator. And I think Allison and I are on the back of the flyer,
that's on the back
right?
of the flyer.
Yes. Okay. Any Monday that you have available that's not a federal holiday, we'll be there, and you're very welcome. I don't care where you live, if you're willing to come to Minneapolis.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
I figured you were going to say something like that. It's great.
The next bill we have in front of us, the committee today, is House File 2648, Representative Torgerson. And welcome to the committee, Representative Torgerson. And I would like to bring the House File 2648 before the committee. And we will be looking at, in fact, we'll be recommending that it be referred to your committee, Chair, to the Capital Investment Committee. So please introduce your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. Happy to present this bill. It's really a small part of a much larger project to establish a brand new veterans cemetery in Redwood County. I have an expert with me today that will tell you the details of this effort, and I'm very happy to turn it over to him at this time.
Mr. Chair, introduce myself. I'm Martin Caraway, Redwood County Veteran Service Officer.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you so much. I've been working on this project since 2010, when the state identified Redwood County, and more specifically Redwood Falls, as an optimal site to serve over 25,000 veterans of southwestern Minnesota. Since Redwood Falls has been identified, we started looking for suitable property. The land search took a little longer than we would have liked. Ultimately, we landed on a spot on County Highway 19 on the eastern side of Redwood Falls, before you come into city lines, actually. That site, in your packet, you can see the proposed veteran cemetery location. And what this bill would be doing is paving Nobles Road, which is a township of Paxton Road, from State Highway 19, U.S. 71, all the way to County Highway 24. The purpose for paving the entire road would be so that veterans from all directions would be able to access the cemetery upon its completion without going all the way, one, either taking a gravel road or traveling out of a direct transportation route to the cemetery.
Are there any questions? Yes. Chair Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, to the witness. How far out of Redwood Falls? You said east. 71 goes north and south. How far out of town are you?
71 goes north and south. There's a small part where it joins County Highway 19 near the casino. And as it comes into Redwood Falls, it runs east and west, and then in the center of Redwood Falls, it drops south again.
Mr. Chairman, into the witness.
Chair Davids.
How far the proposed location, or how far out of town is that, out of Redwood Falls?
Outside of city lines, no more than a mile, sir.
Okay. Chair Davids.
Well, I think this is a great project here. As you know, we've opened up the Veterans Cemetery in Preston, and it's just been an amazing place, and I look forward to going to the grand opening. Well, let's do the groundbreaking first.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, how far And to the witness, how far along are we on this? I mean, is the land donated to, or where are we on this?
Testifier.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, the county has a purchase agreement for the property with the current landowner, waiting for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs to complete their suitability study on the land, which will be completed this spring. It is projected to be submitted to the federal government for federal funding for this next fiscal year in October.
Representative David.
Mr. Chairman, and to the witness, is this a quarter section minus the little bit cut out of there?
Mr. Carraway.
Mr. Chairman, yes, it is, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes. What we got here? Purcell? Was it Purcell? Ward, I'm sorry. Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wondered, what are the ongoing costs for the state once this is established and the road is paved?
Mr. Carraway?
Mr. Chair and Representative, I would be resorting to mere speculation to give you a answer on that, as I'm a county employee, and this would be ran by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs for ongoing costs.
Representative Ward?
I just, Mr. Chair, I wonder if Representative Torkelson has any idea.
Representative Torkelson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Ward, I do not have a number on that. You know, the state operates veterans cemeteries all over the state. We have a gentleman here from the state. He may be able to enlighten us further if you're interested. It's really not part of this bill, of course. This bill deals only with the improvements to the road to access the veterans cemetery.
Mm-hmm. Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just, because I'm not familiar with the cemetery that you're talking about, Representative Davidson, and how this works, I'm just curious what the ongoing cost for the state would be.
Can you... my friend that I was phoning is not qualified to answer that question either. I'm sorry.
Representative Ward, I think we're talking about a road right now, aren't we?
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. We're not really talking about funding a
the
a
cemetery.
That's what the bill, okay. The bill represents. Representative Ward?
I'm just curious about what the ongoing commitment from the state is on these things.
I think if there's someone...
Maybe someone can find that and get back to us.
We can do that. If there's Chair Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I actually read the entire bill. I think it's the only one I ever have in 24 years. But that being said, how does it coordinate as far as... So everything is not quite there yet because you still have to submit applications for the cemetery itself. How is this coordinated that, let's say... I mean, I hope it wouldn't happen. Let's say we put the road in there and then something falls through and it never gets built. Where's the coordination? Because it looks to me like we're appropriating that money even if it doesn't get approved by the feds. Or is this a done deal, or where are we on this?
Mr. Kelly.
Mr. Chairman. Representative, right now the Redwood County facility is slated as the number two in priority for the federal government for state veterans cemeteries. It was number three. Duluth has been funded and is currently under construction. As far as, and the number one priority is in Louisiana, where their state is, and Commonwealth is not submitting any money towards this project. We were informed by Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and their Director of Veterans Cemeteries, Mr. David Swantek, that this road is a no-go. If we do not get this road, the whole project is off. And so this road will catapult us into having a complete application, which we anticipate a full grant in October 1.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. Mr. Davids. Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And that is kind of like which came first, the, you know, chicken or the egg here, because, yeah, it's a no-go unless we do this. I mean, I'm for this. We should do this. But then what happens if it falls through at the federal level? Then we got a really nice road from nowhere to nowhere. Oh, I'll be hearing about that one. I love Redwood County, by the way. They're wonderful folks. But you see what I'm saying? I mean, we may do the expenditure when we don't have the other deal locked down. Or am I missing something here? I hope I am.
Mr. Carraway, or Representative?
Thank you, Mr. Yep. Chair. Representative Davids, I would think we could add a simple sentence to the bill that would require that this road not go forward until the cemetery has been approved. I just want to make sure that doesn't mess up anything with the approval of the cemetery by the federal government. I will look into that, and we will be happy to amend the bill in my committee when the time comes.
And, Mr. Chairman, that's not for today, and I certainly support this, but I'm just thinking sometimes we get out ahead of ourselves, and I'm hoping that everything goes through. And if you're number two and number one doesn't look real promising, then that'd make, in my mind, you're probably number one. And these are amazing, amazing facilities, whether you go to Little Falls or down to Preston, and the need is there. The need is there. We got Duluth going now, and that was a tough one just to find the site location. If this is a farm field in Redwood County, my guess is you're going to be fine with the borings and everything, I would think, unless there's something I'm not aware of. So we'll talk offline, but it's a good bill.
Representative Torgerson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Davis. I would just add that there is no such thing as nowhere in Redwood County.
Mr. Chairman, if I could strike those words from the record. My words, not his.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Davids. Are there any other questions? With that, I would like to move that Representative Torgerson's bill, House File 2648, I recommend that it be referred to the Committee on Capital Investment. That's your committee. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Next bill before the committee is House File 2689, Representative Daniels. Representative, thank you for coming into our committee. Welcome. And I will move your bill so it's comes before the committee, and that House File 2689, and I'll be referring it to the Jobs and Growth Energy Affordability Committee. So would you please present your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, committee members. We have a pretty simple bill. People in Rice County have been working since 2007 to get a veterans memorial in front of the courthouse right in Faribault. They've got quite a bit of it done, a lot of donations, approximately about $345,000 in donations. But our county is probably no different than anybody else. There's the same people that give for those organizations, and we've kind of tapped out our resources. We are looking at about $60,000 to finish the project. There'll probably be some more monies coming in as they sell the bricks for that. But it's a really well-run organization, and we've got some handouts there. Show some of the pictures, what it's going to look like when it's done. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to one of my testifiers, Lloyd Grand Prix.
Would you introduce yourself for the record to the committee, please?
Mr. Chairman, Chairman Detmer, my name is Lloyd Grand Prix. I'm a resident of Rice County for the last 20 years. I gravitated there after teaching high school industrial arts and coaching wrestling at Richfield High School. And I'm a past commander of the American Legion, as well as my cohort, Mr. Mansfield, who is behind me. When I was commander of the American Legion, I was approached by a corps of World War II veterans that wanted to have a veterans memorial. And I kept telling them that I was not their man because I was not a local resident. I didn't know the good old boys in the community. And I said, that's just too much responsibility for me. Following my tenure as a commander, I became president of our Rice County Central Veterans Association, which is responsible for the Veterans Day program and the Memorial Day Parade and Memorial Day program. In fact, Mr. Detmer was one of our speakers at one of those events. And it was during my tenure, towards the end of the tenure, that our Rice County Sheriff came forward. He, being the son of a World War II veteran, his father, Herb, was a prominent attorney in the county and also a county attorney at one time. And when Dick came forward, I knew a man of that integrity, we would be able to move forward. So we started our plans for this. We interviewed a number of different memorialists, and we settled on Jeff Anderson from Anderson Memorials in Austin. If you've been at the Rochester Memorial, that is one of his projects. He's noted across the country for his designs. And so we engaged him, and we had a community meeting, put together a number of ideas. We have constructed a good share of this memorial, but the last part of it, the last phase, we've been struggling on to get the funds to complete it. We've had some large donations. We had a $10,000 donation from one of the banks. We had $5,000 from a veterans organization and one of the Ball Foundation. But our large fundraising efforts have been the sale of these pavers that we have over 700 of them laid. There's including, I think, 68 of veterans that lost their life in the Civil War or as a result of wounds from that. We've done quite a bit of work, and to complete this project, we're in need of some additional funding. We'd like to complete this and have it dedicated in 2017. In 1917, Daughters of the American Revolution erected a monument to Civil War veterans, and that was on site of the old courthouse. The new courthouse, that beautiful Art Deco building that stands, it's been renovated recently, was built in the early 1930s. So there's a little difference in the design between those, but originally, there was a eternal flame that was put up by veterans in 1945. No, excuse me, in the 60s. Excuse me. The flagpole was erected in 1945. That has since been moved to the Rice County Fairgrounds and Rice County Pop for the three new flags that are standing on that site today. But anyway, we have a bronze eagle with a dove that represents freedom and peace. We have an eternal flame that is lit by electronics. We have benches. We have new sidewalks, a concrete patio, and the infrastructure is in for the massive granite columns and bases that we intend to complete this project with.
Thank you. And I've been down Faribault. In fact, my father served during World War II. He's 92 years old. He still lives in Faribault in his home. And I, of course, I graduated from Faribault High School during back in the day, so I know where this project is going to be landed. But do we have any other questions from the committee? Any other questions? Representative, if you would like to give your closing remarks. Any public testimony? Okay.
I think we're good, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much.
Any closing remarks?
Well, I just met Lloyd last year at a parade. He and I are both trumpet players, and I'm just learning how much hard work they've put into this, you know, project already, and it would be such a nice thing to be able to finish up that portion. At the Capitol, we're always talking about skin in the game, and when they told me how much they'd already raised and what they need to finish, and we've all done our campaign, you know, fundraisers, and typically you have the same people that are, you know, donating to all these causes, and it would really be nice to be able to finish the memorial and have it done for 2017. So I just ask for your support. Yeah. And thank you for your time.
Any other questions? With that, I would recommend and refer Representative Daniels' House File 2689 to refer it to the Jobs and Growth Energy Affordability Committee. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Newton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
And would you like to bring your bill before the committee?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. My bill is House File 2444, and in simple terms, what it does is it eliminates all fees and associated costs for motor vehicle licensing and watercraft licensing for 100% service-connected disabled veterans. We don't have a fiscal note on this yet. The worst-case scenario that I've kind of figured on the back of an envelope is about $10 million. That would be if all 6,800 of the service-connected disabled vets asked for these licenses, but as you know, many of them are already in veterans' homes and so disabled that they would not apply. So I estimate that the total cost would be significantly less.
Do we have some questions from the committee? Do we have any testifiers?
No.
Okay. Oh, we have one right there. Please introduce yourself.
I'll be quick. Tom Diamond, St. Paul. I'd just like to speak very much in support of this. The one thing I would like you to consider as you move ahead with this, whether this session or in the future, is if you look at House File 2764, which also deals with vehicle registration. And my main point is that the vehicle registration issue, if we, as we move along, can expand it to more of the disabled veterans, I think that would be a very positive thing, that disabled veterans need to be able to make it to their appointments, and besides their need for transportation, just to get through life. And so I commend this effort and just hope that as it moves forward, we can look at whether we can provide this assistance to more of the disabled veterans. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, with that, I would like to recommend that House File, Representative Newton's House File 2444, be referred to the committee, Transportation Committee. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Yep. I hope all my bills go this fast.
Just bring them to this committee. They'll go fast. The next bill before us is Representative Johnson S. Bill 2505. And I'll move House File 2505 before our committee. Representative Johnson's bill, and I'm going to recommend that it be referred to the Committee on Taxes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Just briefly, I'm going to describe the bill, and then Mr. Diamond wants to say a few words. House File 2505, the purpose of this bill is to extend what is a current tax credit to more veterans, in particular low-income and disabled veterans. Currently, Minnesota provides an income tax credit of up to $750 to veterans who have served at least 20 years or have a service-connected disability of 100%. And under current law, this phase, this credit phases out at a rate of 10% when adjusted gross income equals $30,000, with no credit for incomes of $37,500. And this tax credit was enacted in 2008, so it's been a while since it's been brought up to date. Now, what this bill does is increases the income level at which the credit phase out begins from $30,000 to $50,000, with no credit allowed for incomes of $50,500 or higher. And it also expands eligibility by extending the credit to all rather than just the 100% disabled, all disabled veterans who have a compensable service-connected disability. A revenue note has been requested, but do not have that in possession. And with that, I'll turn over, Mr. Chair, with your okayness to Mr. Diamond.
Okay, Mr. Diamond.
Yeah, thank you. Tom Diamond, St. Paul. I'm the legislative Army veteran, also legislative director for the DFL Veterans Caucus. And before I speak about the bill itself, I think it's worth noting that on veterans issues, I think it's that we should be able to reach across the aisle as Democrats and Republicans to do what is right for our veterans. And I would like to commend the chair who gave us this opportunity to speak today. My experience with Chair Detmer is that at the Coon Rapids VFW, when there was a committee meeting, he reached out to me to have a discussion and meet on this, testify before your committee in past sessions, and Chair Detmer has done the same thing, reached out to have a discussion. And this is really important because the veterans who have served this country, and there's 369,000 veterans in Minnesota who have served, really deserve the resources that are necessary to provide for their care. And so I appreciate that and the opportunity to speak today. On this particular legislation, the committee has been working on this break and has the current legislation in place. And in discussions within the veterans community that I have had with fellow veterans, is there's a strong interest to broaden the opportunity to have this break provided to disabled veterans. And so that's why the impetus behind this is to broaden it out to other disabled veterans, and also to raise the cap to the $50,000 plus and the taper off. The way we have looked at this in the discussions of it, if there are, first of all, we want to first of all see funding go to the MDVA and programs to provide the services, you know, and whether it be the Minneapolis nursing facilities, Hastings, the cemeteries, the county veteran service officers, et cetera, to provide the service to the veterans. But when there's additional funds that are available, if they are available, then we would like to see those resources provided as broadly as possible within the veterans community, make as many eligible as possible. And we would also like to see, as far as priorities, that those who have the least resources and those who have disabilities be the first in line to get those resources. And so that's our perspective of where we are coming from. And again, I would just like to thank Chair Detmer and all the committee for your willingness to consider how we can expand these benefits to a broader segment of the veteran community. Thank you.
Are there any questions from the committee? Or are there any other people from the audience that would like to come in and testify? Would you state your name for the record, please? Welcome.
I'm John Wexler. I'm from Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Yeah. And Chairman Detmer, I just want to emphasize what Mr. Diamond just said, and that is that we want to make these benefits available to the people that are really in need, and a lot of these veterans, particularly the ones that get, you know, higher percentages, but in all percentages, it's really important that they be able to continue on and develop functional lives.
Thank you. You know, I just take a look at the bill myself. I know that it's the first part of the bill deals with something we've already got in statute, and we're in represent what you're doing. You're just raising the cap of what it starts to phase out at $50,000. The second part, where you're including all percentages of disability, that's going to be the big issue here when it goes to the next committee in terms of the tax committee, where I'll be sending this bill. But I'm glad you brought it forward. And if, are there any other questions? Okay. With that, I recommend that House File, Mr. Representative Johnson's House File 2505, be referred to the Committee on Taxes. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And just to wrap things up here, on Wednesday, Bets on the Hill is going to be at the Cedar Street Armory, and that starts at 10 o'clock. So if you're able to make the Bets on the Hill, I know Representative Purcell and I will be there. We'll be speaking. And also, we have a new page with us right now. Ryan Nash, could you introduce yourself and tell us who you are and where you're from? Well, look at that. He sits right down right in front here. Okay.
My name's Ryan. I've worked here 3 years ago. I actually worked on State Government Finance and Veterans Affairs 3 years ago. So I'm from Woodbury, Minnesota.
Any relations to General Nash? No. Okay.
No, Mr.
I asked you that before.
Or Jenny Nash.
Oh, Jenny Nash. Okay. Well, welcome to the committee. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And also those that have attended any of the MAG, Military Action Group, meetings, we met today. And the next meeting is April 11th at 9 o'clock. And also we have a new person from the Department of Veterans Affairs. Would you, Ben, would you introduce yourself and what's your new role? Welcome.
Thank you, Chair Detmer, members of the committee. Benjamin Johnson, Legislative Director for the State Department of Veterans Affairs. We had a new position within the agency. A Chief of Staff position was created. So some of you, most of you likely are familiar with Mike McGallany. He was promoted, moved up to the Chief of Staff. And so I was given the opportunity to take over the Legislative Department. We also have a pseudo-familiar face as a House staffer as our new Legislative Liaison. Some of you might know or recall Linda McDonald. She was with us for about 7 years, but had been working in state government for 25. She retired last fall. So Cole Trace is our new legislative liaison. He's another point of contact in the agency. Thank you for the opportunity, Chair.
And thank you again. And I know I got to know you as we traveled around the state and answered a lot of questions for us. So thank you so much for your service. And you're also a veteran yourself.
Correct. That's correct.
That's right. Well, thank you. This meeting is adjourned.